Good afternoon, everybody. I am Bart Winkler. Welcome into the Winklerverse. Grant Bills, Paul Imig. I was driving home with my kid recently, and I told him I had to go to work, and I said, "Do you know what I do?" And he said, "You say good morning, everybody."
Well, that's really cute.
What a nice, cute thing. And that is real. That's not a joke. It's April Fool's today, but I don't participate in that. I feel like society has backed off for the most part. You still have like your, is it Milwaukee Record that goes crazy? Facebook is still like, I just saw Rodgers sign with the Titans. He didn't, but that is what I saw.
Tiger Woods says he's playing in the Masters.
Yeah. Tiger Woods. What did he say? He was like, "Well, I was so surprised." And then it's up for 45 seconds as he's sitting there giggling. And then he's like, what's the point? What's the point? What is the point? What is the point of April Fools is to take the people that you cherish and love the most and punish them for believing and having faith in you.
Mm.
That's the point of April Fools.
My kids learned about April Fools this year, and their go-to this morning was, "Watch out, there's a ghost behind you, April Fools."
Mm.
"Watch out, there's a werewolf behind you, April." I'm like, oh, okay.
I was hoping it was an April Fools when we got an email from the gym teacher yesterday.
Uh-oh.
My kid was acting up in gym class.
Mm.
So we got an email from the gym teacher.
I thought gym class was created for said, like...
On one, so because my initial thought when I got this email was that this guy's the worst human on planet Earth. Like, what a cuck. You're emailing me that 5-year-olds are out of control.
In gym.
Yeah. And then I thought, oh, geez, I mean, it must have been really bad if this guy had to go and search the parent directory as soon as the fucking final bell rang to fire off some emails.
Are you the parent of record at school?
I believe we got it in, out of the. I think we got the co. I think it's a. I think it's a she gets, I get.
Progressive.
I don't think. Yes. I don't think. I do believe I am the legal head of household.
Well, naturally.
I'm not quite sure how that works. I shouldn't be. But
as the non-breadwinner, you should absolutely be the head of household.
I'm not the breadwinner. I'm younger. I'm just less contributable to society on the whole.
Yeah.
Same.
But you do lead your household in number of references to the World Cup being canceled.
I'm worried about that.
You mentioned
lead the household in cultural impact.
I don't know. My line when I was at the Brewer game, as I was talking to people, they go, how you been? How's the show, Bart? How's the show? And I'm talking to other media brethren. They go, how's the show? I go, I've never had more reach. I've never been more irrelevant. I don't quite understand. But that's where we're at. It's my baseball bonanza. I got a baseball game Monday. I'm going Wednesday. I'm going to the Cubs game Friday. And then still working that night for some reason.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I don't know. I could use a day like that. I used to have those long days. I feel like I need to stay young. I need them to stay young.
You need like long days to stay young?
Yeah.
Don't you think that can have like the opposite effect?
Well, they say the days go slowly, but the years go fast.
That's actually,
oh, it's quite true.
It's a torturous comment.
Yeah. Paul, when you're with your kids, do you ever like, take a minute and just like clearly just enjoy your life? Or are you thinking the whole time, you're going to be 15 one day and I'm going to miss this. You're going to be an adult one day and I'm going to miss this. That's all I think about.
I do it all the time. And it's the main, well, one of the two main reasons I take the prescriptions I take.
Yeah.
Cause it's like you can dwell on it. You can really get fucked up. Like you can.
I know. It's like, a few people hey, buddy. Hey, daddy. He's running down. I've been picking him up more just because I'm like, I got to get these in. I got to get these reps in. We do the daddy express now going up to bed. I don't need to carry him. He's a grown man.
Can we change the topic? This.
Yes, change the topic to whatever you would like, Paul.
Just something that's like, you know. Yeah, not torture.
So not the Brewers?
No, that's fine. I mean, comparatively, like, that's fine. That's fine. We're going to have very affordable tickets this year.
Yes, we are.
You know, so speaking of the family reasons behind every decision, I guess we probably have to start Brewers. Bart, I'm going to – you probably – well, maybe you weren't. You said something in a text to us yesterday along the lines of buckle in for a 60-win season. So I'm gonna assume you maybe put
65.
Some level of hyperbole, but like here, right now. So this is here's my question. At 0-4, you got to take 70 wins over under. Grant makes a face. I'm doing this number to see how honest Bart was being in his 60, which he's now adjusted to 65. I tell you what, given Grant's reaction, the Brewers are going to finish. Got to pick it. Overreaction after four games. Right. But they're not just 0-4. Like, they're 0-4 with the differentials that are unforeseen in previous MLB history in just about every category. The Brewers are going to have a sub-500 season. Got to call it right now. $1 million if you're right. Nothing if you get it wrong. The Brewers will have a sub-500 season. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
I mean, there's been easier ways to get $1 million check in Wisconsin over the last couple of weeks, but I think that's the easiest.
Did you have that lined up?
No, I don't believe they're going to go 500. Can I tell you what, as they're 0-4 going into Tuesday night's game against the Royals, what I thought about, I don't know that I had a thought about the Brewers. I don't know that anybody had a real thought about this Brewers team, like what to expect, because the line I kept hearing was Pecota's got them for 78, but they always got them for 78 wins and they always overperform. So they'll do it again. And I'm not just talking like fans. I'm talking like baseball analysts, people from other teams. And I think this is one of the reasons why I think the Chiefs are going to be bad next year, and why I thought the 49ers would be bad, is sometimes like you buck expectations for so long that you fool people, but it will catch up with you. And I think the Chiefs, like, their over under is 11.5 wins. The Chiefs for next year, I feel like that's high.
Are you gonna do one of your like Pistons are gonna make the playoffs takes? Are you gonna put your money where
Carlos said they're not. Make the playoffs.
Oh, is that the one time when I heard you maybe a week ago and Gelb called in and tried to like dump all over? Okay, I heard that.
I got a new Pistons make the playoffs take.
What is it?
Over 3.5 quarterbacks drafted in round one.
Ooh, I would go under. Who's the fourth? Who's after Dart?
Someone trades up to get a guy on a fifth-year option.
For who, though?
I don't know. Shuck out of Louisville or Milrow?
Man, the first round, that would be.
Dart goes three to the Steelers.
Sure. I mean, I think Dart can go in the first round, but I just don't know if there's. I mean, I guess people are desperate, right?
Rodgers is totally signing this summer with Pittsburgh. I don't know why more people aren't having a parade for me.
You don't have the DK Metcalf throwing sessions for fun.
Right, but he's not going to sign until later.
Probably.
Or was that, did you see that today? Because was that real?
I think.
I don't know. I saw a picture of him and DK Metcalf today. Was that real?
I saw a video.
Was that with all the sitcoms dads, by the way, that you sent earlier today? Was that shit AI? Right?
I don't think it was.
I think it was. I examined it closely. I don't remember Bob Saget, Tim Allen, and John Goodman and Al from Die Hard all being in a picture together, but that's a side note.
You just called him Al from Die Hard?
I don't know his full name. Isn't that was his name in Die Hard?
Isn't that Reginald Johnson?
There's a theory that he is the same character in everything he plays.
That's Kevin Costner.
I would like to show the picture, if I may.
Yeah, it's Reginald Johnson.
On the Dan Shaney video stream. Yeah, it's Lithgow, Uncle Phil. I guess Uncle Phil's mouth looks a little AI-y.
They all look AI. All of the mouths. Look at Tim Allen's mouth.
Yeah, and Tim Allen would not be left bottom he would want to be center.
Bart, I saw something the other day that said Al Bundy was 39 when Married with Children started.
We're talking about Ed O'Neill?
Yeah. Al Bundy. Right. Yes. Do you not watch Married with Children?
Yeah. Is that he had like grown up kids?
He had grown up kids and he looked like this.
Yeah, maybe this is AI. Who's this other guy, though?
I don't know who that is.
Maybe it's just like a random dad that is like, we're just going to throw a random dad in here.
I didn't watch Step by Step too much. Was that wasn't like Step by Step, was it?
No. That was Patrick Duffy.
Patrick Duffy.
Yeah. God, Step by Step. I used to just watch TGIF with my hands in my pants. Al and Karen and
Dana. Do you listen to their 90s podcast?
They have one too?
Well, like Topanga and her co-stars.
Oh,
and...
yeah. No, I don't listen to that. But they just had Adam Scott on it because he did a 4-episode swing on Boy Meets World when he was first acting.
Really? He's everywhere right now. He's basking. That throwback episode where he had the shadow and the the pen in his mouth, the caffeine in the corner of his mouth.
Oh, yeah. What a hunk. All right, Brewers.
I think they'll go above 500.
You do?
I do.
Bart called it the easiest million-dollar thing he's
you. I'm feeding off of you.
Well,
you're at the ballpark taking video of people leaving.
Well, I'm allowed to sit there and go, this team effing sucks, which I said. So I said it in the first inning, and I said it throughout the game. But I also think they're a lot better than they've shown, and I still think they'll win more games.
Would you agree with me? You were at the game.
Yes.
And I was at the game. Did it feel different in there? Was there a weird vibe? Something was off. And it could be the Euchre tribute that that was sad.
You know, the part that got me was Kent Sommerfeld having his voice in the end. It was sad. I brought this up. I said this to the group chat. When did I send this to our group chat? On Saturday. The Joe Buck tweet about how that team feels a deep loss. Oh. I said I would pound this on Monday if I was on the air, because I wasn't on the air Monday. I was at the game, so I did like a pre-recorded show. Kurt kind of poo-pooed it because I did 20 minutes with him as a part of Monday's show. But I don't know. Maybe the Euchre death is a thing. I think the vibe in the ballpark was more that fans came in skeptical, and then the first inning gave them all of the evidence they needed to see that this was not going to be a game, and everyone checked out. And it's kind of a nice place to nap. My coworker Ebo said he fell asleep for an inning because that nice hum in there and the sun was coming through, so it was kind of warm. It's a great place to nap.
Someone fell asleep at a Brewers game? Wow, what a jerk they must be.
That doesn't happen.
They must have been hammered.
No.
I mean, just
I'm
to
sure,
speak.
I'm sure, first off, that doesn't happen. Second off, if it did happen, it would never start an on-air fight on a local radio program.
And second, if I did or he did fall asleep, it would have been for no more than like 45 seconds of a snooze.
You know what the untold part of that night, though, that you've retold the fun, like the most notable part, which was
Paul and I went to the Brewers Rockies game and I got drunk.
But the more notable part was how you hugged everyone around us 8 times a piece. And this was when we had season seats there. And so like these people, like you didn't know them, but you knew them. And then like the next game I came to, they were all like, oh, you didn't bring your buddy again, huh?
Well, they missed out. I mean, I was a joyful Brewers fan. It's better than what I saw when I went to the game on Monday, where in the first inning, mid 50s year old woman and a mid 30s year old guy were fighting over a foul ball.
Oh, geez, really?
A foul ball. Like, first of all, the foul ball, it was not like we're fighting for Aaron Judge's 60th.
Mm-hmm.
We're fighting for something you could buy for $12 in the clubhouse from either a Brewer that is bad or a Royal you've never heard of. We're fighting in the first inning. We're fighting.
This happened in our patio. There must have been a dash for the ball below us because people were yelling over the railing in front of me, give it to the kid, kind of angrily. Always a bad look as an adult when you stiff arm a kid away from the ball.
Actually, Bart has a take on this. Or was that Rami? Do you remember this?
I think I'm pro give it to a kid.
Was it Rami that said?
Most humans are.
there was something back in the day that I remember you guys bickering about.
I think Rami might have been keep it.
I think he might have.
Rami's.
Well, no. So with the foul ball, I feel like when it's in the air and it's up for grabs, you go for it, dude. You go for it. It's wow, this is fun. This is, I didn't think a ball. You go for it. The split second that you don't have it, you're quit. You're done. You don't get to have it and then grab it with the guy. You don't get to leap behind another row of seats for it. If it's like a section where nobody's sitting and there's a little standoff between you and a guy on the other side, both of you should just be like, they'll clean it up. I mean, we shouldn't be keep fighting for the foul ball. No, I'm pro give it to a kid. I also, but I don't like that. It's just like what if I catch it? And there's a kid next to me.
Do you still have to part with it?
And I'm like, I have a kid. I want to take it home for my kid.
Nuance.
But I have to give it to this little rat because his parents afforded seats I couldn't? I don't think so, Tim.
I think it's a good point.
Thank you.
The best part of the Brewer game yesterday, I made the most amazing joke, and it's a stolen joke, but I went to the bar in our little section in left field, and I got a glass of beer for myself and then a glass of beer for the people I was sitting next to. They wanted one. And as I'm carrying both of these cups back, I ran into a group of coworkers and listeners. They go, oh, Grant, you're double fisting already. And I go, yeah, I actually need glasses to watch this team, specifically two glasses of beer. And I had them both in my hand. Killed.
Wow.
Killed. The rest of the game absolutely sucked. I couldn't tell you one thing that happened yesterday other than Ricky Weeks getting thrown out. This is the only thing I remember. It was the least memorable baseball game I've ever attended in my life.
So to be clear, now that you've both gone on opposite sides of this question, Grant is pretty confidently going over 500. Seems like pretty high confidence ratio. Yes. On this.
I still despise this team so far.
I think did you tweet something like already the most dislikable Brewers team in?
Oh yeah. Easily. Yes. Recent memory, at least.
It's four games, whatever. Is the Willy Adames clubhouse departure, is this going to be a thing? Is this going to be like a part of the 2025 season chapter book? That
the 2025 championship season chapter book?
If you ask Tim Allen, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, but really, like, is Willy's presence not being there, is this a thing?
Maybe. They just don't. They actually don't have any pitchers. Like, they started Elvin Rodriguez for their home opener the day after. I don't even remember who they started to. I don't remember who they started Sunday. I don't remember. Who? Oh, did he get hurt? That was already. That feels
yeah,
like
now he's on the DL. Ago.
Jesus Christ. 15 days for a hamstring strain. Seems like they should have a shorter option for the injured list, but whatever.
So, Grant, what's your confidence percent on over 500?
Pretty darn.
And Bart, what's your confidence on under 500?
Well, I mean, I hesitate to say anything because it's four games in.
But I mean, right, you get $1 million if you're right, nothing if you're wrong.
I didn't think they were going to be 500. I don't think they're good. I don't see the magic. And I mean.
No passion.
No, it's not that. You can't run around the stadium all the time and be reminded of. I mean, Uecker's presence was massive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what people are going to realize, because people, when he passed away, everyone had the same anecdote, which in a way was like,
go ahead.
You know, it's, but in a way it was like, wow, this is like the last communal thing. We all, what's your memory of Bob Uecker? We all have the same memory of Bob Uecker, where we listen to him with somebody alone. I mean, I remember some nights coming back from lacrosse to Fond du Lac, just the dumpiest, like, I don't know where the hell I was, but I still got a Brewer game on. And Bob was the companion with you.
It's 8:45, the soft light of summer, still kind of, there's a glow to the skies, cornfields.
On a road you'll never be on again, and you don't know how you got there in the first place.
Don't appreciate that enough.
But like, so we all know, because when that video was playing, I was walking around the concourse and people are like holding it in. It was very sad.
Mm-hmm.
But what people are going to find out, I think, is just how much he meant to those guys.
Yeah.
We lost our broadcaster. Dude, they lost a teammate.
Mm.
Like, he was a teammate to them.
Mm.
And he stopped going as much on the road and whatever, but that made the interactions at home and the clubhouse more special.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to predict that in terms of a win-loss record, but it's definitely going to be something.
Yeah. It explains maybe their lack of they quit. They quit the last 3 days. They completely quit. They quit in the second inning of their home opener. And maybe the Euchre part plays a little bit of a role in that. They don't have any pitchers. They don't have any pitchers. For their probables for the next go through the rotation, they have none other than Freddie, who's good. It's not like he's
like
CeCe Sabathia in 2008.
But you're saying all of these very negative things.
Me?
Yeah, you. And then, but then you're saying they're going to be over 500.
Yeah, I think so.
Can they be over 500 when they have, in Grant's words, no pitching?
Well, they have no pitching right now, Paul.
Oh.
And get healthier.
Okay.
When is What's His Nuts going to throw for us?
Quintana?
Yeah.
He should be back very soon.
We officially
can line up Freddie, Woody, and Quintana.
Yeah.
Then we might win a game or two.
I was going to question, not knowing for sure, I was going to question Grant's pronunciation. Quintana? Quintana? Quintana.
Quintana. You're going to roll your tongue. I don't know. I don't know. Like
what did I say? Quintana?
Hotel. Yeah, you said Kin. I would have said it.
I usually say Quintana.
Yeah.
What's his first name?
Jose.
Yeah. Joey Quintana. Wyoming's finest.
Josie?
Rancher.
Josie?
I think they'll go over 500, but... you know what I'm not doing? I'm not sitting here today and be like, everyone needs to calm down. Everybody, you gotta stop overreacting. Like, no, you should be panicking and dumping all over this team right now. But also, I still think they'll hopefully end up all right.
Yeah.
And I had someone yesterday say, Grant, the Brewers sucking ass this bad, this much is good for content. It's good for radio. Yes, in the short term, this is excellent.
Sure.
But in a month, this will not be exit. Like, I need
short-term gain is long-term pain.
Yeah. I mean, if they're like 10 and 28, it will not be good content.
It will not be good content anymore. It'll be great tonight and the rest of this week. But by the end of the month, it's like, I want to actually be able to talk about a baseball team. And if their season's done and they're cooked, like,
yeah. If early May, it looks like they are terrible. Your job to get through the summer will be not fun at all.
I'll have to turn into Bukowski, and that'll suck. Like, just do Packers every day. Or Andy Herman. I don't mean to pick on Pete. Like, I can't do Packers every day. I need baseball talk. It's the sound of summer in Wisconsin is baseball talk.
I think I would very unconfidently go over. Very, very low confidence. Grant had high confidence with the over. I'll take the over, but with low confidence.
If I ever wanted a year of cheap tickets, right now is the year that I would root for them to be bad.
See, there's definitely something to that.
Because there's already like a lot of games I'm looking at. And I want to be able to just be like, hey, Sunday, let's go to the game. Oh, I can get $15 tickets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of like, well, I'm thinking long-term pain again. Or long-term gain. I'm thinking short-term pain for long-term gain because I'm trying to get my kid to the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Yep.
I'm just trying to buy eggs.
Do you want Packers or Bucks?
Well, first.
Packers.
First. I want to tell you about this great deal at happyplacehemp.com. The promo code is BART, 25% off each and every order. You'll need it this baseball season. You got your gummies, you got your seltzers, which have been very big, you've got your tinctures and your balms and whatever you need with the CBD. So there are your CBD experts, also the delta 8s, delta 9, THC, other things of that nature, different varying levels of it, the seltzers included. So the great part about this stuff is you can order it and try it and see what it does for you and how it works. And if you like it, you can get more. And if you're like, I need to go eat Earth, then you can get more of that. And you can try it out, always getting the promo code. Do you know how much bonus product you've been able to get with the promo code usage? I mean, like a lot, but the 25% more, maybe? Is that how math works? I'm not good with percentages up. I can do percentages down, not up. But I do know you get 25% off each and every order. The website is happyplacehemp.com. The promo code is BART at checkout. 25% off.
Can
what
I,
do we agree on? Packers?
Can we Grant? Please do Packers? Can I read you?
I always do that.
Can I read you a Mark Murphy quote that Rob Domofsky just tweeted?
Please.
Yeah.
Rob Domofsky tweeted a picture of Mark at the owners' meetings. Said Packers president Mark Murphy, who is retiring in July when he reaches the organization's mandatory retirement age of 70, is wrapping up his final owners' meeting. He said it was emotional, but then joked, quote, "My wife always says I'm like an owner without the money," unquote.
That is good. I mean,
it's
is.
Pretty fun. That's pretty funny. And this picture of him absolutely rules. Oh,
it actually must be kind of a strange thing, though. You go to this owners meeting and billionaires, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do they do when he shows up? They're like, "The poor has arrived."
That's how Mark Adazio probably feels.
Hey, hey, Mark, how's your 3-bedroom, 2-bath?
We can do Packers. Sorry to derail.
Mark Murphy is poor and should feel bad. Mm-hmm. All right. I like this topic. Did you guys see Brian Callahan talk about Malik Willis at the recent comments that happened?
Malik Willis, no.
I cut those comments and emailed them to Bill and Mike, but I did not listen to them myself.
Mm. Well, you cut them without listening to it?
Well, I said it was unedited in parentheses.
Okay.
It was loud.
There was a part at the Brewer game yesterday where I and Clemens and Freeman were all by each other, and it was like, God, we used to have some segments.
You didn't know you were in the good old days until we but I heard Andy Herman talk about this, and then I saw as essentially Brian Callahan was talking about Malik Willis being traded for a 7th-round pick or a conditional 7th at the time, and did you see this coming and whatever else. And of course, Callahan was talking about what a good kid he is. And then after like 40 seconds of fluff non-answer, he said, didn't see this coming necessarily type of thing, where it's like, oh, like he clearly way overperformed what he thought. But Malik Willis is in a contract year. I mean, if he gets another 2 starts or something this year and plays anything like that, he's going to get at least Justin Fields level paid next offseason, right? Does that feel about right? Like someone who could go compete for a job with another guy. Like,
if Daniel Jones is getting 15 for a year, he can get 15 for a year.
So, I mean, and obviously that would not be with the Packers. So essentially what you're weighing is do you want to have this dependable, good backup quarterback who, for all intents and purposes, has 1 more year in Green Bay, period, end of story. He's here for 1 more year and he's gone. It was floated, I think, by Andy Herman, the idea of realistically, honestly, getting a third from Malik Willis in this type of quarterback draft is reasonable. So Malik, you get a 3rd-round pick offer from Malik Willis. You're Brian Gutekunst and you get that call. Hey, we'll give you our 3rd from Malik Willis. You would do it. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
Well, would you get compensation for him if he left as a free agent now?
I mean, now you're 2 drafts away as opposed to,
So you get instant value, a 3rd-round pick right now.
Or probably like a 5th in 2 years.
And then you just call Kurt Bankert back and you say, hey, Kurt.
Great work. We need you to run our social media.
We need you to stop playing Madden against Dante Stallworth or whoever he's playing against and get here. Backup quarterbacks are tricky to me because I think you want one. But I don't think you want to invest a lot in them, but I do think you need to invest a little in them. I'm always pro a I'm always pro a team having a backup quarterback, but at what cost? I would probably leave well enough alone and ride out Malik Willis just because you've seen him come in. I think a good backup quarterback, or what you can expect from one, needs to cover four games of an injury and go 2-2. That's what I think.
I like that rule that you have, and he clearly can do that for you.
He can do that. And also, Matt LaFleur calls a better game when he's the quarterback, so that seems to help.
Everyone also plays much better around him, the wide receivers and such. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I
So pick 70 in the draft this year for Malik, and you say no.
That's basically a second-round pick. So would I not take a second-round pick for Malik Willis?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. That's why I asked the good questions.
God damn it, Imig, you did it again.
I mean, we said this time last year we'd trade a second-round pick for Justin Tucker. Look how soiled that take worked out.
We never talked about that.
Some did.
Been stricken.
I was effusive in saying, not only is he a great kicker, you get a high character guy.
Yeah, right. Yep. Just keep the backup quarterback that can help you win games. Did we have the thing? Now we can leave well enough alone for a year. We're protected for a year. It's not like you're losing Willie Adames in free agency at the end of the year for nothing. You're losing Malik Willis, who's solid and can help you win some games, but it's not like your team's going to crumble if you lose him for nothing without a fifth round or third round pick in return.
So my microwave is broke, and it's been broke, and I'd have to take it out of the wall, and it's just like a whole hassle, and I haven't gotten there yet.
It's broken in that it doesn't work, or like the clock, like what?
It doesn't work. It's
completely
dead.
And totally. Okay.
But we still warm things up via other methods, including an air fryer.
An entire year in lacrosse, I did not have a microwave in my apartment. You find ways. You adapt.
Well, so what if somebody offered me the equivalent of a real life second round pick for my air fryer? Like, what if they're like, I'll give you $250. And that'd be great to have the $250. But then I wanted my air fryer. So I'm getting rid of the thing. And now how much is an air fryer? I don't know. Make it
$80 at Costco.
$80?
Someone in our house turned on the wrong burner and didn't realize it and melted our old air fryer.
Oh.
So now we're in the market. We were looking last weekend.
I don't know
if that helps your point or not, but it's a good analogy, and it's one that I very much enjoyed.
Yeah, I tried.
Well, and if they trade away Malik Willis, I guess silver lining, then next spring, or I guess summer, we could take calls on whether or not the Packers need a true veteran backup quarterback. That's back on the table for talk shows.
True.
Yeah. We can get Brian Hoyer.
He's the final answer.
I believe I'm not trading him for a third round pick. Don't ask me about a second.
Grant.
I might trade him for a second, but not a third.
I was going to make you answer and say, now how about Bart for a second? All right, go ahead.
I guess my point is, if someone blew my doors off, sure. But I'm not sitting here pulling my hair out over what we should do with Malik Willis.
But don't you feel if somebody called you and said, I'll give you a third for Malik Willis, don't you feel like you have to take that?
No, I do not.
I kind of think you do. Yeah.
I mean, they don't make the playoffs last year if they don't have him.
Yeah.
So
correct.
You could argue that he's more valuable to the team than some of these other schlubs. Who's more valuable, Malik Willis or Lucas Van Ness?
Here we go. I was going to say, find the player. Let's.
Who's more valuable?
Well, I think the answer is unequivocally Malik Willis.
Yeah. So then
this season.
Sure.
Malik Willis also started in college, which is something that Lucas Van Ness can't say.
At Liberty, again, Liberty, Liberty, Liberty.
But again, that's where, though, you'd say, and I said this year, more valuable is Malik Willis, but you get 1 year.
I'm not overly concerned about that. Some people, we can't lose him for nothing. Well, we can't just let him walk for it. Yes, we got him for nothing. We can let him go for nothing. It will not bother me.
It's basically like, do you want to pay for insurance?
That's what it is.
Well, we don't need insurance.
Not now, you don't.
But then, dude, I'm already I'm worried as shit because I have two payments left on my car. Two payments left on my 2018 Hyundai Santa Fe sold to me by Sith Lord.
You've been paying $6 a month on that thing? What are you?
5-year loan? 6-year loan?
Well, here's what I did.
Is it an $80,000 Hyundai? Don't answer that, actually. Just, what were you going to say? Go ahead.
No, I leased it to start.
Oh.
Mm.
And then I bought it.
Okay.
And the buying process was like, they go, all right, here you go. You can buy it out for $420 a month. And I'm like, I thought it was like $280 a month. They go, well, that's without all of our like add-ons and packages. I'm like, I'm not buying that. I don't want that. I want to pay off the car. Mm-hmm. Well, you have to pay for separate oil changes. Well, then I'll get a Take 5 coupon at a Brewer game. I mean, Jesus.
Oh, Valvoline, they give those things away. You never go to Valvoline without Googling Valvoline coupons. They just $10, $15 coupons, they literally give them away.
So I'm worried because as soon as I pay off that car, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen to that thing. It always happens.
Don't you have car insurance? Or is that not how leasing works?
Well, no, I'm not leasing anymore. I bought it. I have car insurance through Dan Shaney.
I was going to say, as do I.
But I'm, you know, something that the car, it's not insurance that the car doesn't go to shit.
Interesting.
It's insurance that if I like run over a child, I have some sort of deductible. I don't know how that shit works.
There are not two humans on the planet who understand insurance less than the two that just...
And that's why Dan Shaney's the perfect agent, because he'll help you with all this.
Mm-hmm. He's the David Mulligetta of car insurance people. Jerry Jones would shit all over him. I don't know if you guys saw that today, but that was kind of funny. In any event, I'm perfectly pleased with our current insurance provider, which is Malik Willis, and I'm not... If someone calls me and blows me away, sure. But there's so many Packers fans who are like, Jesus Christ, what are we going to do? It's like, at the moment, nothing. Nothing is required right now.
Having said that, a third gets it done. I mean, a second gets it done.
I think the Packers would trade it. I think the Packers would do it.
Yeah.
I think they would do it. I think they would do it a lot faster than this discussion, by the way.
You think for a third they would do it faster than that?
I think Goody would giggle. And do it. I think it'd go down faster than the Luka trade.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know that I would do it.
So I would say, I think I would turn the card in, call the league as quickly as it sounds like you think Gutekunst would.
Can I tell you something that's separate from any of this? That's really like having me. It's really, I saw David Gruber at the Brewer game and he got recognized and he acted like he was surprised he got recognized. This was an inning after his face was all over the Jumbotron where t-shirts parachuted from the sky. Gruber, you're going out in public. You can't do that the way you used to. You are everywhere.
Did you expect
some level of like people are knowing who I am.
Do you think it was genuine surprise or just like a humility thing of like, oh, shucks.
I think he's got to be past that though.
Not if he's not a prick.
I mean, the guy that recognized him was fucking cooked, though. He was like, why one call that saw?
Oh, me? Me? Says David Roy.
And then one of his buddies like, I fucking knew that guy, dude. Well, yeah, the beautiful wavy hair.
So these two people were having their, one might say, any Bart moment.
Yeah.
If any Bart saw Gruber out and about, you'd say, I fucking knew it. It was that guy.
Any Bart needs to get some hours in this weekend, that's for sure.
Clock in.
I need clock to clock in.
You want to do one more?
Sure.
So I'm going to play you a clip. But first, I want to ask, I want to give you just like quick take. Jokic is a top what player all time right now? Giannis is a top what player all time right now?
What? And I haven't. Ryan Russillo, I mean, Jesus Christ, I didn't know we were doing this today. What if they're top, I'll be very conservative, 18 players of all time? Probably they're a little higher than that. Top 15?
They're both top aggressive. 15.
I just really, I don't want to be the Bucks fan that's like, oh, they're way, like, I'd be somewhere around 15.
Where's the list? What are we looking at?
What do you mean?
How, you just said they're both top 15. Where?
All time. Are you're just asking this as a gauge for setting up your question, right? Is that how I'm reading this?
Okay. I kind of do we think they're top 15 of all time?
Yeah, not what do you think someone else thinks. What do you think?
I mean, if Giannis played in the 70s, he'd had 250 points a game.
I've heard that take.
Dude, Mad Dog, I spent a half hour on that on my show last week just because it annoyed me. It's like Giannis is Dr. J, but much taller and much heavier. Like, what the fuck is... And I love Mad Dog. But, like, what are you talking about? All right, like 15, higher, maybe lower, but like 15 somewhere in there.
All right, now answer my premise. How? So where are they, Bart?
They're top 20.
How close are they to each other?
I think what the consensus will tell you is Jokic is about 2 to 4 places higher than Giannis.
2 to 4 places. Okay. All right. Grant called out one of the names that you'll hear here, but I'm going to play this. And my question is, I agree with what I just heard. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
Which is like touching a
totally. Oh, sorry. Totally I should probably go back. Then.
Jokic is like touching a totally different historic tier, I think, yeah. Giannis is. When it's all said and done, like, what is this guy going to be? Because the standard for him would be higher because of the way we're talking about him. Again, it feels a little dismissive of Giannis, but we're talking about, like, hey, top 10 of all time in this sport versus Giannis, who probably lands in the top 20. You know, I don't know. I mean, you know this stuff better than I do.
No, I can tell you, Giannis is, we're talking about the Hakeem, Shaq, Moses kind of area.
Right,
and where and Jokic is on like the Bird and Magic suite, like knocking on the door now. Like okay. I am so, the natural legacy to you guys.
It would be a good segment to do that too. Like we're just producing shows here right now. Is who are the most like go last 20 years most important rings? Like how important is Steph's fourth ring? You know,
I think I would have Steph's fourth ring over all of them. I think it vaulted him into a completely different area.
No kidding. Fourth is more important than Jokic or Giannis's first or only?
I do because those guys still have a chance to win another one.
There you go. You agree with what you heard? Mm-hmm or mm-mm?
I mean, I'll go. I think Jokic will be slightly higher than Giannis. I don't agree that there's a cavern between them. Why is Jokic on the level of Magic and Bird? He's got one title.
I'll tell you why. Because Jokic looks more impressive doing similar things because he's fatter. When you see a guy like Jokic who then also doesn't give a shit and he's just like throwing the best passes that have ever been thrown in an NBA game, it's like it looks different. Like if I'm playing basketball with a guy and then I do a slam dunk and the guy's 6'5", you're gonna be like, holy shit, Bart's really good.
This analysis will be Bucks tilted. I think Jokic will finish higher because he's got more MVPs. For whatever reason, Jokic won a bunch of MVPs, and then he stopped winning MVPs because people are like, well, we're not going to keep giving you MVPs unless you prove it.
We have to give them to Jokic now repeatedly instead.
Yeah. And then he won the title, and people are like, okay, you proved it. You can continue to get MVP consideration. And for whatever reason, that never happened for Giannis. Like, he won the MVPs, and then they're like, all right, now we wait. And then he won the title. And
You also had somebody cry their way to an MVP between them.
Yep.
In Embiid.
I don't even remember who.
Oh, Joel Embiid.
Embiid.
Fucking. And this is why the NBA is so stupid. That MVP is going to end up being held against him because NBA people find a way to do that. Like, oh, you did this great thing. Here's actually why it's not great for you, which is silly.
Well, because you'd probably say, like, worst MVPs of the past
two decades. Right.
Embiid's the worst MVP of the past 2 decades.
Yeah. Jokic and Giannis, I think when you put all of their skills together are pretty similar. Jokic probably a little higher. Jokic doesn't give you half of the things that Giannis does on defense.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I don't think if you plug Jokic in on that Bucks team in 2021, I don't know that they win that title. I can just think of so many unbelievable defensive plays in huge crunch time moments in that run that I know Jokic isn't playing. And maybe he would have made enough offensive plays where it wouldn't have mattered. I don't know. I think their big picture resumes are very comparable, but the details that make up those resumes are different.
Which so I don't think Jokic wins that title with the Bucks, but does Giannis win that title with the Nuggets?
It's kind of similar. Yeah, Jamal Murray is the Chris Middleton role. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, yeah, but again, like I have Bucks colored glasses on, obviously.
But it's like it's no disrespect to Moses Malone and Hakeem Olajuwon, but to put Giannis over there and then put Jokic in the Bird and Magic camp. That is not a 2-4 spot difference, you know. And again, when you're talking about
10 spot difference,
that's a 6 to 8 spot difference, like probably 10, if not more spot difference. And I know they're still saying it's like, oh, how dare you call our player a top 20 only best player of all time? Like, obviously it's kind of silly, but when I heard it, I was with you guys. Like, I was like, okay, Jokic is probably consensus going to be considered, you know, a small handful of spots ahead of Giannis. The gap that they presented was more than I would have expected two national basketball analysts to conclude pretty definitively.
But there's also, I think, and I don't know what it is, but there is like a, there's something in the makeup of human beings that wants to put Jokic over Giannis. I'm not saying anything like bigger than whatever you might think I'm saying. I'm just saying people have just acted that way with Jokic, where they've given him more of a boost than Giannis.
Let me add this about that. So I think if you remember those James Harden comments from what, 4, 5, 6 years
run and
ago,
dunk man.
Yeah, like I think there's something about this idea that Giannis is less talented just because he's so much more physically gifted, and thus his basketball skill in the eyes of the James Hardens of the world, which I think are not too small of a minority of people who might think that way, because he's just so physically dominant and imposing that it's less quote unquote basketball skill.
Yeah.
And more just like giant human makes baskets.
A better way to say Jokic is fat.
But it's not, it's more the other way. Giannis is so, like, I think James Harden thinks that if he had Giannis's body, he would be that James Harden would be the best basketball player ever by a mile. And thus it diminishes the skills that Giannis has acquired with said gifted body, or what it took to acquire said physically gifted specimen body that Giannis has. Like, there's a lot of things that have always, throughout Giannis's arc as becoming this top 20 of all time player, that have the perception is strange, I think.
Well, and I think Nick Redd has brought this up before. Then why can't any of the other, you know, 6'11 guys in the league do what Giannis can? If it's just, well, be bigger and stronger, run and dunk. Well, then why can't Isaiah Stewart do it or Rudy Gobert do it? Like, there's dozens of players. And his size and strength is an asset. Duh. But I don't know. It's not like he's fucking Boban or Zach Edey, and people sometimes treat him that way.
Yeah, to be that athletic is at that size is. But anyway, I just thought that was interesting, and it seems like you guys did too, because it's a bigger gap. And even with our Bucks shaded glasses, I think that's again, it would be different. Like, by the way, how did those? You know, the reason I could let that keep playing to hear like the Steph comment about how big the four rings were for Steph's overall best player of all time ranking.
It was pretty big. That ring was pretty big for him.
Well, but I say that because then they go back and they talk about, well, Jokic has one and Giannis has one. So we're talking about this massive gap in the eyes of, you know, Simmons and Russillo between Giannis and Jokic, even though they both have one ring. Does Giannis, not that it's happening this season, does Giannis at some point winning a second ring if Jokic doesn't, does that even them out? Is Giannis still trailing Jokic? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
does he need three? I think he almost needs three.
Does it need to be a 3-1 ratio for Giannis to even?
But what if he wins a title with this fucking team?
He's got to elevate. I mean, if that happened, which it won't. But if it
did,
this
team worse than the 2007 Cavs?
Was that the LeBron
without Dame? Yeah. Yeah, they're starting Ryan Rollins and Torian Prince. John Horst should be in a labor camp. You see these graphics they tweet out before the games? And I know they built the thing around the Dame and Giannis combo. So it's you can't judge it when Dame isn't there. But good God. Like when Giannis goes, John Horst can go too. We've talked about this, but like I don't know, had enough of him.
I did have to quick look up this roster. Can you name the 2007 NBA Finals 0-4 loss?
All right, Mo Williams.
This is Drunas Agauskas on that team?
Actually, Mo Williams wasn't there yet. That happened later, Bart.
Okay, James Jones.
Nope.
He was on the roster.
He doesn't have a point.
Well, I think he's on the roster. I thought he was with LeBron for all of his run.
Who?
I thought James Jones won a title every time LeBron did. Then he go to the Heat,
well,
too.
Well, James, but
oh, they lost.
They lost. Right.
No, like Drew Gooden there or some shit.
Yep. Drew Gooden was the third leading scorer of the team.
Yeah. Drew Gooden. Was there like a Darius Miles situation?
Nah, not at this point. No. I said Ricky Davis, but that was sooner. That was.
Who's the guy that is that we're thinking of?
Larry Hughes. Do you remember Larry Hughes?
And wasn't he the coach of the Bucks when Giannis got here?
Larry Hughes?
Oh, that was Larry Drew.
Larry Drew. So it's the top leading scorers for that Cavs team. LeBron, Larry Hughes, Drew Gooden, Zydrunas Ilgauskas, Anderson Varejao, Eric Snow, as mentioned on last week's pod. Is this Bucks team better or worse than that team?
Wally Szczerbiak. Was he on that team?
Was Wally still there? He's not listed here. He might have been gone by then.
That team's better than this team.
That also had, by the way, Sasha Pavlovich, Damon Jones, Danielle Marshall, and Booby Gibson.
Booby. God, the NBA sucked back then, dude.
That finals was really a bummer.
That mid-2000s NBA with that shit graphic ESPN with Yao Ming.
It was like last year's playoffs, except every year, basically.
Do you think that Yao Ming's gotten forgotten over time? He was a fucking big deal. When he played Shaq that first time, mm-hmm. Oh my God, you felt seismic Richter scale.
Yeah.
And then he's just forgotten in time.
He retired at a fairly young age, didn't he?
Is Yao Ming a Hall of Famer? All he did was shoot. All right.
That's all I got.
This is a pleasure. I do have to go. Thank you both. This is very nice.
Yeah.
Do you think the Brewers will win a game before we talk again?
I don't think the Dodgers will lose a game before we talk again.
Okay, well, that's fair. That seems Grant, much more likely.
If the Brewers don't win a game between now and us talking next, would you still take them to be over 500?
If the Brewers lose two more in a row, I will change my take. That's where
okay. So 0-6 is unrecoverable. 0-4 is okay.
Correct.
Programming note, we're off next week, yeah? We're off next week?
Well, no, Grant's gone. So
you guys can do one, but I'll
see what happens. I'm always down to clown.
Let's do it.
All right.
Grant, call us from vacation.
Thanks for stopping into the Winklerverse.